soul. Yes, my God is real, for he has and made me whole. Lord, his love for me is just like pure gold. Lord, yes, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Lord, my God is real. He's so real in my soul. Yes, my God is real. Washed and made me whole. Yes, his love for me is just like pure gold. Well, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Lord, my God is real. He's so real in my soul. My God is real, for he has and made me whole. Lord, his love for me is just like pure gold. For my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
Let's all say amen again. What a joy, what a privilege, what an opportunity it is to lift up our voices in song and praise the God of heaven. I am going to ask if our song leader can give us one more song. And I'm going to tell you why I brought the wrong message from my office, and I need to go get the right one. And so I'm going to ask Brother Ford if he would to lead us in a song while I go get the right one that I need for tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ford. Thank you, church, for being for your patience and understanding. All right.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Oh, you know it bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And now just a little talk with Jesus makes me oh, oh. Now let us have and let us tell. He will hear our faintest and he will answer by and now when you feel, and as your heart, yes, you will find, with Jesus makes it right, all right. And sometimes my path seems drear, without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may day, well, the mist of sin may rise at the starry skies. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Hey, now let us have and let us tell. Oh, he and he will answer. By now when you feel and as your heart, oh, you will find with Jesus makes it right. All right.
I know what you're thinking. Well, that ought to take some time off the message tonight. Have two Bibles, and I put one with one message, another in another. So we have it for tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are still considering the qualifications of elders. And as we look at these qualifications and characteristics, we know that they are numerous. From 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, 1 Timothy and Titus, we can locate nearly 15 of these qualifications. And I want to try to, I think we hit on the desire, and we looked at this idea of blameless. We looked at the husband of one wife, and we looked specifically at those because I know that those tend to be more controversial, need more explanation. But as we look at some of these remaining, I want to try to put as many as we can. And so we're going to try to do three tonight, and that will be vigilant, sober, and good behavior. The famous coach John Wooden said, "Be more concerned about your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what others think you are." And I think that's a good quote. But when it comes to spiritual leadership, both character and reputation are important. What you are and what people think about what you are is significant in church leadership. Jesus concerned himself with the thoughts of what people were saying when he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He was concerned about what the opinions were out there. And I'm saying to us, if Jesus was concerned with what people thought in regards to spirituality, I think we ought to be able to show that same concern. Paul concerned himself about what others were saying. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, round verse 16, the book of 2 Corinthians is partly a defense of his apostleship, because some were saying that he was not a true apostle. And so Paul was concerned with what these individuals were saying in regard to his apostleship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 16, he says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me that I may boast myself a little. Paul says, I don't want anybody to thinking I am a fool. Watch in chapter 12 and verse number 6. He said, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul was not only concerned about his character, but he was also concerned about his reputation. And I'm saying to us, with regard to spiritual leadership, we cannot be effective if people think in our spiritual profession that we cannot be influential. Paul is saying to us, church leaders must be concerned about their reputation among the people. That's why we looked last week at the idea of blameless. He must be free from any moral or disgraceful character that would interfere with his ability to lead God's people. This is totally opposite of politicians. May we never confuse God's appointed leaders with a political system that says he looks good to vote for. As a politician, you can go to jail for not signing marriage licenses and claim you are defending the sanctity of marriage, while all along you have been married four times. First marriage had resulted in an affair that resulted in pregnancy, and still be lauded by one of the political parties. You may be able to do that in the political world, but when it comes to the house of God and leading God's people, you should be an individual that has good character and a good reputation. Now, does that mean everything that we see our elders do, we gonna like? No, ma'am, and no, sir. Because if they told you no, you don't like them. But that has nothing to do with their character and the spiritual reputation that they have. So we want to look at three areas of character tonight, and that is vigilant, sober, and good behavior. Bible says, elder must be vigilant. When you think about this term vigilant, we need to understand what that means. Vigilant, by definition, means properly, sober, temperate, abstinent. And this had to do with regard to wine. And that's probably going to be another situation when we get to the... But here in this text, it's not talking about wine, but it's talking about a sober, minded, watchful, circumspect individual. When it talks about vigilant, because it can relate to abstinent of wine, what happens when y'all drink? I'm sorry. you become sleepy. Ain't that what y'all told me? Unaware, lethargic, reflexes slow. And so when it comes to spiritual leadership, an elder must be vigilant. He must be watchful, circumspect. The New King James and the New American Standard and the NIV all translate this word as temperate. When Timothy is told to have his character as it remains, as it concerns sound doctrine in his preaching, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the word vigilant is used to express how Timothy was to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Watch what he says: preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse number 5 is our term. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Timothy, this is coming. People are going to stop and don't want to hear sound doctrine, but you need to be vigilant. You need to watch. He says, watch thou. All things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, if you're not watching, if you're not vigilant, if you are not careful, if you are not doing your work, that is going to impact the church. And I want us to know that as it relates to eldership, if we don't have people and men who've come forward who are watchful, who are vigilant, who are sober and circumspect, it will cause trouble in the Lord's church. Elders are to be vigilant in their leadership. We have too much false doctrine that's creeping in. Too many individuals who know how to talk smooth. They know the Greek for this, the Hebrew for that. We can't get caught up in what may look all good and how well dressed a person is and how their handkerchiefs matches the tie. We got to understand that we have to watch and be vigilant. And we need men, and thank God we have men who have been watching, who have been vigilant in the work of God. So a bishop then must be vigilant. Then watch what he says. A bishop is to be sober. Now, we all understand a little bit of sobriety, but here, sober has to do with being prudent, being of a sound mind, reasonable, restrained. In the New King James, it says sober-minded. The New American Standard translated as prudent. The New Revised says sensible. The NIV says self-controlled. This is what older men, were to be as it related to what Titus was instructed as he was set to set the church in order. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. He also uses it to describe the young women. When in verse number 3, he talks of Titus chapter 2, talks about the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So this quality of being reasonable, of being sound in judgment, of being able to make a sensible, self-controlled decisions. I want you to notice now, both of these characteristics, sobriety, being sober and vigilant, address the mind. It addresses the thinking of the man. It addresses the attitude, his approach as an elder. In other words, right thinking leads to right actions. Jesus taught that in Matthew the 12th chapter and verse number 35. He says, Matthew 12 and verse number 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth what? Good things. Evil man out of the treasure, out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so this is all letting us see that an individual who would desire to be a bishop, an elder, a pastor, must have the right kind of mindset. And then watch what it says. And he said, that leads to good behavior. Sober of good behavior. When we look at this, this is defined as decent behavior, respectable, a good reputation, proper behavior. When it's looked at in other versions of the Bible, it's, in the American Standard, it is noted as orderly, respectable. Timothy would use this word again as he talked about a woman's apparel. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9, I know this is not a lesson about dress, but since he used the word, let's look at how he used the word. He said in like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves, and here's our word, in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, that which is orderly, that which is decent, that which is appropriate and proper for the occasion in which the clothing is worn. And I told you that now I'm not going to go in the dress, but I want you to see how he uses it now. What Paul is saying is that in the same way that a woman would adorn herself in a modest, orderly fashion, the man who desires to be a bishop must act in an appropriate, orderly, decent, respectable, and have good reputation. One commentator said that this term is equivalent to saying that an elder is a gentleman. He is orderly. When I thought about all of these qualities. I thought about Ricky Smiley. Those of you who may know Ricky Smiley, how he does prank calls, and he calls funeral homes. You Google him tonight if you haven't. And I was listening to one of his prank calls. How, and this may not be the best illustration, but it's going to be the one we use tonight. But how, when he called the funeral home, inquiring about people he did not know to attend funerals of people he had never met, and then he would cry out as if he knew those people and other people forgot to tell him that those folk had died. Now, while Ricky Smiley is funny, I was more impressed with the funeral directors than I was with Ricky Smiley. Because all the time he's acting a nut on the phone, the funeral directors are very cordial, reasonable, appropriate. They never lifted their voices in rage and wanted to know. They thought it was a woman, and they said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry, ma'am." He would holler out, "Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry that we, yes." And I was so impressed with how sober they were, how vigilant they were, the good behavior they exhibited in the face of adversity. And when I have to go to my elder and I have a situation of life that is troubling me, it's good to know that there's a man who can, with prudence, with vigilance, hear my concern and still be and not cut me off as if I don't matter. That's the idea of an elder being vigilant, being sober, being of good behavior, because we bring a lot. Let me tell you a secret. We bring a lot of mess to our elders, and they, with decorum and vigilance, sit there and listen respectfully with a view of helping us grow spiritually. When I have a problem, my wife and I, if we had to go to an elder, I don't want them talking about, "Oh, I remember you when you was little. That ain't the time for that. We can't have leaders who gonna hold you and say, but I remember what you did." Amen. And while it might be right, they remember how scandalous you are. But when they sit down with you again, they ought to have a sober mind. I mean, I've seen them deal with folk over and over and over again and deal with them in the spirit of reasonable thinking. And I'm trying to tell you, we need more men like that. But we also need to honor the men we do have who remain like that. Sometimes they'll need to deal with a false teacher. They have to deal with that with vigilance, sobriety, and good behavior. And sometimes they may have to tell you, sis, you ain't giving right. You want to know why? And they have to do it with vigilance. They have to do it soberly, with a good reputation, because when people start talking to you about your money, you always look funny. Amen. Thank be to God we have men. We are blessed and fortunate to have the quality of elders we do have. But oh, what a blessing it is to even have other men who will see what God expects and aspire to be what God wants them to be. Someone may ask, shouldn't we all have these qualities? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But it's so good to see a model, a demonstration, an example. Because as you look at the men who stand before us, they ought to model the chief shepherd and his character. That we would have individuals that we know are concerned about our spiritual well-being. We continue to pray that God guide and direct those who would come and desire to be bishops. And we also pray for those that we currently have, that God will continue to hold them up as they do his work. We all try to model the chief shepherd. You're here, you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God. The shepherd desires that you come into his sheepfold. You ought to come having faith in Jesus Christ. You ought to come repenting of your sins. You ought to come confessing Christ. You ought to come being willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're here, you're not, you're a Christian, but you haven't been staying in the fold. You've been wandering away. Come on tonight and get things right. As we stand, as we sing, will you come?
Pass me not, O gentle.